Shauna.
Barb. Go for it. Good morning. Welcome to worship with Tabernacle United Methodist Church. We just heard from organist Barbara Garges and doing an improvisation on For the Beauty of the Earth. And this morning as we gather for worship, we remember that the act of worship is an act of responding to God's love. And we respond to God's love in many different ways, by offering ourselves in service, by setting the intention to try and live and walk in the way of Jesus Christ, by the way that we love one another. All these different ways are ways that we respond to the amazing and generous love of God in our midst. And as we enter into that time of worship, I just want to pause for a moment and lift up a couple of announcements. We have a church council meeting on Tuesday at 6:30. The link to the Zoom platform we'll be using is in our weekly email. There's a couple different renditions of it out there, but it's the same link. And you can, everyone who's a member or a friend of the church is welcome to be at that meeting, and there'll be some important discussion of our values and the dreams we have for where Tabernacle is headed that will inform the conversations that are working on our mission and vision. So just want to make sure that you feel invited and important in that conversation. I also want to make sure that people know that our church is organizing a new members class. We'll go through some of the basics of what it means to be a member of a United Methodist Church and this particular church. It takes 5 one-hour sessions. We usually space it out over 5 weeks. We just invite you to email the church office or myself, and we'll figure out a time that works for everyone. I also want to let you know that there are some other great classes that are happening around the church, including a class in Christian leadership. I've been so excited to work with the folks who have been coming to that. And we've been looking at the ways in which Jesus heals us and equips us for different forms of service in the church. And so all those things are going on. And this morning, we're very excited to be offering a special service that celebrates the decision that this church has made to be a reconciling congregation, which means that we not only welcome people from the LGBTQ community, to be part of our church. We welcome them into leadership of our church. And we celebrate the gifts that everyone brings to the table as we build community together. And this church has done such a wonderful job of that. It just gives me such joy to be with you on this journey. And we're blessed to have a member of the Tabernacle Diaspora, a couple by the name of Smuggles and Dick Culver, with us on the choir call. And they gave us a little centering thought to bring us into our worship today.
Okay. The true work of social transformation starts within. It begins inside your own heart and mind, because the battleground of human transformation is really, more than any other thing, the struggle within the human consciousness to believe and accept what is true. Thus, to truly revolutionize our society, we must first revolutionize ourselves.
And we will continue our worship with a responsive reading of a piece of Psalm 46, which contains that beautiful invitation from God to be still and allow God to be God. It begins this way. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved.
God will help it when the morning dawns.
The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter.
God utters God's voice. The earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations she has brought on the earth.
God makes war cease to the end of the earth.
Our God breaks the bow, shatters the spear. God burns the shields with fire.
Be still and know that I am God.
I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. And we're going to look into that work of peacemaking and celebration through an ancient song that the choir has worked on. And here is that beautiful piece.
Thank you.
I want to thank all the members of the choir for the very creative dedication that they've shown to making music in this difficult year. And there were a number of folks who contributed to that who weren't able to make that particular Zoom call to do the recording that you saw. But you heard their voices anyway. And we're going to continue singing. Invite you to sing along with us wherever you are. Here I am, Lord.
Pastor Harold, did you notice my new mask?
I did. Tell us about it.
So this is a singer's mask. And that's just falling off my ear a little bit here. Hold one second. But this was made by Lois Diffendale. And it gives you a lot of space so you're not up right against the mask. So I want to thank Lois Diffendale. She's going to be making some more for our choir.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. By the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? By the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them, they turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them, my hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, until their hearts are satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in. I will go, Lord, if you lead me, and I will hold your people in my heart. That was a request. If you have hymns that you just haven't heard in a while and really want us to be playing, we do take requests and really value that input. So I'm going to be bringing you a scripture from Acts chapter 15. And the one of the commentators that I read as I was studying for this service said that this particular moment in the book of Acts is a focal point. It's almost like this is the climax of the book of Acts. And it's called the Council at Jerusalem. And I'm going to read you a short passage from it. The apostles and elders met together to consider this matter. The matter before them was whether or not someone could become a Christian and be fully integrated into the Christian community as a Gentile, or whether they had to first become a Jew in order to be part of the Christian community. That's the matter before them. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "My brothers and sisters, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that I should be the one through whom the Gentiles would hear the message of the good news and become believers. And God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And in cleansing their hearts by faith, he has made no distinction between them and us. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing on the neck of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." May God add a blessing to the reading of these words. And I have to say that as the youth and I got together yesterday to do our little drama. There was tremendous blessing in the air. And if you could see the outtakes, they were hysterical. I didn't record the outtakes. You can't have them. But I will tell you that we had a lot of fun making this short drama.
I've never seen Peter looking so serious.
I don't think he came down last night. I think he was praying all night long.
What's the big deal? I thought Jesus settled everything. Why are they arguing?
Well, I, for one, am with Jesus on this issue. Sure, anyone can listen to Jesus, but first you have to be a Jew. How does Jesus even make sense if you don't read our scripture first?
But why? Didn't Jesus say he came as an expression of God's love for all of humanity?
It's true that you can't fully understand Jesus without reading our scripture. Isaiah, the Psalms, the Shema, Jesus seldom said anything that wasn't grounded in what God has been doing all along. But does one need to commit to being a Jew in order to follow the teachings of Jesus?
Yes, of course. They need the necessary pre-knowledge. They're just trying to avoid the ceremony and temple.
Well, wouldn't you?
No.
Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as you would love yourself." How can we say that we love our neighbors when we hold the door closed so they can't come into God's presence?
They can come into God's presence, but if we let these outsiders in without teaching them our laws, the laws of Moses, the commandments, and giving them the mark God has given us, doesn't that break open the holiness of God like dropping a pot onto an unprotected stone floor?
But that is just it. In Jesus, the holiness of God is broken open for everyone.
Hey guys, I think I found an open window.
Lead on.
Let's go.
Would hear the message of the good news and become believers. And God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And in cleansing their hearts by faith, he has made no distinction between them and us.
I just want to give thanks for our youth and the contribution that they're making to our worship. which is, from my perspective, just brilliant. Now, as we continue our worship, I want to be able to work with a prayer that is about releasing truth and receiving grace. And it begins this way, and I'll put it up in a minute so we can all do it together, but sometimes we have a hard time staying present to the work of acknowledging harm we have done. And one of the things that the Christian church has had a hard time doing is acknowledging the harm that has been done to the LGBTQ community when we have engaged in poor theological thinking, when we have engaged in exclusive behaviors, when we have made people doubt that God really loves them. And so on behalf of the church which I serve, I want to say, I am sorry that this has happened. I want to say, I and those who are with me in the reconciling movement of pastors in the church, I and those who are with this church and all the laity who are committed here, we are part of a movement to change all that and to do better day by day. But it's good. It's good to be able to take a moment to acknowledge when we have done harm and to say, I'm sorry. And so as we go into this acknowledgement of the capacity to do harm that happens so often, can happen in any level of relationship, and all of us can look at it in different ways. And so I offer this prayer to you as part of our continuing journey of faith. Gracious and holy God, we sometimes have a hard time staying present to the work of acknowledging harm we have done or that has been done to us. Accompany us as we search our hearts and seek to be fully truthful with you and with each other. Let the flow of your healing grace move freely within us and our community. Hear the good news. Jesus came for healing and liberation, not for religion. Your freedom as a human being to love and to be loved is what the journey is all about. What needs to be forgiven, know that it is forgiven. May the peace of Christ be with you. And when we say that, may the peace of Christ be with you, when we're in person, it starts this round of handshakes, sometimes hugs and embraces, sometimes moments of communion and catching up from people that love one another and have been in community together. The whole place goes kind of on fire with this buzz. And so we're going to create that buzz now, even though we're not in person, just by opening our hearts as we do this act of saying, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Amen. Now, we're going to continue our worship with some prayers. We want to acknowledge ongoing prayers for Matt and Lou, for Deb, for Jeff and Richard and Andy, for Linda and David and Barbara, Danielle and Tiernan, Evie, Cindy, Sharon, Ron and Joe. We have some special prayer requests for Eric, who was diagnosed with COVID this week, and for the whole family. From Alona, for her brother Ron, who continues to struggle with his health journey. We have prayers for our whole community, for everyone in our community who is going through extraordinary struggles right now.
For Tina. Tina's a singer. Yeah.
And one of the ways that we pray is through song. So I invite you, wherever you are, to join us in song as we sing Surely the Presence. And Barb is scooting back to the piano to lead us on that live. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel God's mighty power and God's grace. I can hear the brush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Gracious God, we thank you so much that you have shown yourself to us in so many different ways. And you have told us about the importance of love, of loving you, of finding in our love for you, your love for us, so that we may properly love ourselves and use that in a grounding to love all those around us. It gets beautiful, Lord, when you are present in our lives. And we ask that your healing attention and love go out to those we have named today. We ask that your guidance be with all those who are in places where they need to make decisions that affect other people's lives. We ask that your vision for the flourishing of the whole community, not only the whole community of humanity, but the whole community of living beings on earth, would be placed before us again and again and again, and that that vision for collective flourishing might bind us all together in a dream of abundance here on earth and liveliness. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to rebuke those who would do violence to our democratic decision-making processes. We ask that you would rebuke them in such a way that they would come to laugh at themselves and be called back into community with the whole and know their place in the family of things. We ask that you would bless all those who are struggling, and especially our healthcare workers and first responders who are sometimes running at the ends of their ropes to try and keep up with all the demands of serving and being healers in this difficult time. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, and we recite the prayer that he taught us to pray, and we're using a prayer that's a version of this prayer that's found in the Enfleshed Liturgy Library. It goes this way. Mother of us all, who dwells within and beyond, sacred is your name. May your holy vision for collective flourishing come to fruition among us. May your dreams of justice, love, compassion, and connection be enfleshed on earth. Provide us today with what we need to be nourished in body, soul, and heart. Forgive us for the harm we cause, as we seek to forgive those who have harmed us. Lead us away from everything that destroys, and liberate us from the hands of evil. For you are the ultimate source of hope. Your power with exceeds all power over. Your presence incites eternal wonder. Praise to you, our comfort and strength. Amen. Now, oftentimes at this point in the service, I talk a little bit about the joy of giving and the way in which the legacy of generous giving has made this church stable, even in the midst of such difficult times as we are in. But one of the ways we can give to each other is just to show up and be fully present. And Patty and Amy recorded a little moment when being fully present made a huge difference.
Hello, church family, and good morning. We are happy to be here celebrating another year of our church becoming a reconciling church. When we first came to this church, we were standing in the parking lot, nervous and undecided as to whether to come in, when along came a wonderful lady with vibrant red hair saying, "Are you coming in? I'm running a little late myself, so come on up." And we felt so welcomed that we decided to stay. And a year later, we remarried in this church in front of God, family, and our friends. Near the end of 2013, our church had a guest speaker. We had people from other congregations join us. This is where our story begins, with me meeting Christine Baxter. And to her, I asked the question, "Would you like to meet my wife?" Christine, in turn, wrote about it and had a picture drawn up and sent us a copy May 2014. And here it is. And the picture is of the Too Bright Tree of Life by Tamara Baskin. This isn't the color version, but I believe we can download the color one on the site if you'd like. But she wrote, "Would you like to meet my wife?" It's a simple question, really. It was said with a wide smile of a newlywed who wanted to introduce me to a spouse for the very first time. We had only met once before, and I had not yet met her wife. Yes, her wife. She had met me at a church, her church, a place of love and friendship and acceptance. She told me that my friend, her pastor, had married them this past summer. They told me how they were learning to communicate as newlyweds, and I thought about my own husband and how he and I are getting to know each other's communication styles. I asked about their life, and they asked about mine. It is the same question and conversation that happens in fellowship halls everywhere. Three or four people sitting down, relaxing, and learning about each other and the faith that brings them together. Isn't that what we all would like to have? A church where they love and accept us, friends and neighbors that want to get to know us. My husband and I were visiting because someone important had come to preach that day. We look forward to hearing the inspirational message of a truly great Christian who didn't just talk the talk, but indeed walked the walk. We did not leave disappointed. We met an inspirational couple, a loving community. We met the beloved children of God. People take being married and introducing their spouses for granted. In the LGBT community, that's not necessarily the case, and sometimes it still isn't. We've come a long way. But a lot of churches still do not support or recognize the union of two people who are committed to themselves and to the faith and to God. So we are very blessed, our church family, that you accepted us and believed in us and support us and love us unconditionally. Christine really touched on it as to what our congregation is like. Loving, supporting, and letting us be who we are and not having to hide, and very welcoming. And Christine hit it with that letter or poem, and we keep it very near and dear to our hearts. We got it framed at home, and we just, you know, it's just so, means so much to us, because it does say what our congregation is like. We miss everybody here. We love them. They're a family to us. And we can't wait to see you all when this pandemic is over. That would be awesome. That'd be a big celebration in itself.
But in the meantime, we stick together, we say prayers for everybody, we miss everybody, and we love everybody that's here, because you are our family.
Just know that we love you and we pray for you, and we hear your calls and your special prayer requests, and you're not far from our hearts and our minds. Thank you again for loving us.
God bless you all.